Welcome to Economically Speaking, the information podcast designed to bring you the latest economic development news in the town and the surrounding area. Hosted by Babylon IDA CEO Tom Dolan.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Economically Speaking. I'm your host, Tom Dolan, and we're excited to bring you some insight into what's happening with the economy. That's what this episode will be about. But before we begin, this is also a quick reminder that this is a podcast that is not intended to be official, financial, legal, or professional advice. The information shared is only for the purpose of discussion. So, with that being said, there are some things that have been happening with the economy. I think the economy continues to be at, you know, front and center as you pick up the paper every day and we read about everything that's going on and the impact that some of the tariffs and trade and different things that are going on that we want to kind of touch base with today when we want to talk about the numbers as they are on a, you know, on a national level, and also bring it back to how it's impacting us here locally in the town of Babylon and the Long Island region in New York State. So yesterday, the Federal Reserve and Fed Chair Jerome Powell weighed in on things, and you know, the big thing was, were the Feds going to cut interest rates? Were they going to raise interest rates? Were they going to stay the same? And there were different people who had input to that. But what we heard was, and I can do no better than to kind of read one of his statements that I think, and he talked about the uncertainty about the economic outlook, that it has increased further. The Fed is attentive to both sides of its dual mandate and judges that the risk of higher unemployment and higher inflation have risen. Therefore, interest rates remain at the same level that they were at. So that was a big thing. And one of the things that he made too, so in other words, they have a dual mandate, right? He says that they look at inflation, but they also look at unemployment. But in reading further and looking at some of the other comments, it looks like inflation is a bigger concern to them and keeping inflation under control, because they want to ensure that the one-time price rise from tariffs doesn't affect consumer and business inflation expectations, and that would ripple through the economy. So there's a real concern because, right, the economy, for the economy to work and for things to be happening, people need to be borrowing money, investing their money, and money needs to move. But if people are nervous and they're not sure what's going to happen, or they really don't have the money because of rising costs and rising with inflation, they tend to less money be available to spend out in the economy. So that was really important. And I want to just talk about some of the numbers here, because as it relates to inflation, in March of 2025, the CPI, Consumer Price Index, headline inflation at 2.3%, but the core inflation rate was at 2.6%. Short-term relief for businesses, but core costs remain above the Fed's target. And I think the target, I think they always talk about the 2% number and how important that number is. So, you know, they use the tool of interest rates, right? Because that's where people borrow money and do things. So when they want to slow things down a little bit to bring down inflation, they usually raise rates. And again, we saw a lot of that 2021, 22, as things started in inflation after the pandemic and the supply chain. We had issues with the supply chain, and that's where we saw inflation kind of go up and skyrocket. Plus, again, the government put money into the economy to try to help stimulate, which did work. We heard about inflation. Recession, I should say, not inflation. We were hearing about inflation every day, but we heard about the word recession continuously. But I think the additional monies that the Feds did put in at the time of the government made a decision to put into the economy kind of helped us get through, and we did keep low unemployment rates. But so since December, again, the interest rates have been holding between 4.25% and 4.5%. And the truth is, the future rate direction remains uncertain due to some of the things we just talked about, inflation, and some of the trade factors that we're seeing and we read about every day. The expectation is that they will eventually be cutting rates. And again, we've heard multiple resources and you get different opinions on that, right? So it's kind of uncertain that way too. Some people say that they anticipate maybe two more rate cuts this year, 2025. And then you have some that don't see anything happening until 2026. And again, we will see how the trade policy of the federal administration right now, or the federal government, how their trade policy is going to impact that and what the time's going to be on that. But again, we sit here as the industrial development agent. We offer low-cost financing tools to support capital investment amid uncertainty. And I think that's important to say too, and all my colleagues here in the region with the other industrial development agencies do the same. So the other factor was employment. That was the other concern, right? So inflation is one concern and they want to keep inflation under control because again, the impact that it would have, but employment is also important. And they said there's a risk. They see a risk for unemployment rising. But I can tell you, looking at the numbers we're looking at right now, you know, New York State is at 4.1%, and this was through April of 2025. The U.S. economy is at 4.2%. So that's been numbers that have been really strong for going back again since the pandemic. And what we've seen here in the town of Babylon is a rate of 3.7%, and that's through March of 2025. You know, again, it indicates a strong local economy, but a tight labor market, and it may limit businesses' growth and workforce availability. And again, that's what we do. I have to throw these little plugs in for our IDA, that we can support workforce development initiatives to address gaps. So again, if you're out there and you're in the area, we'd love to help you. And or if you need an introduction to one of my colleagues in the region, we'd be more than happy to do that as well. But moving on from there, so I mentioned also that, right, for the longest time, we kind of skated through those years post-pandemic, and we kept hearing about a recession. But recently, we've been hearing that again, and everyone, again, has given their opinion as far as the percentage of people that think we would be heading into a recession or not. Like, what are the chances of it happening? But I just want to say that, you know, we looked at the economy that shrank, right? We go back and we look at the number that came out, the annual rate of 0.3% in the first quarter, but the U.S. almost certainly isn't in a recession. A recession is considered two straight quarters of failing gross domestic product. So the GDP is our output, what we're putting, not what we're taking in, right? And that's kind of what we keep hearing about with the trade deficit as far as what we put out. And they have numbers that they calculate. But so we technically shrank in the first quarter. But a significant decline in the economy activity that lasts more than a few months is really what a recession is. And consumer spending grew a solid 1.8% early in the year. So that was positive news, but it was down from 4% late last year. And business investment jumped 22.5%. But again, that was in part because shoppers and firms stocked up ahead of the tariffs. And it's just another little point I want to make here, that sometimes taking a snapshot of something, like when you see jobs or you see this type of investment happening, you know, you need to look before and after and look what's happening at the time that these numbers come out. And by taking a snapshot, you would think that, wow, look at business investment jumped 22.5%. But at the same time, they were motivated by the tariffs and the fear of tariffs and what the tariffs were going to create. So again, we're going to keep our eye on that. But I wanted to also talk about what that impact is, right? So now we're talking about the possibility of a recession, and a lot of that is hinged on what tariffs and trade and some of the policies and things that are happening right now. So the average effective U.S. tariff rate as we speak today is 28%, And a Yale study showed that that's the highest since 1901. 25% on steel, aluminum, and cars, 10% on most other imports, and 145% on Chinese goods. And some of the businesses we work with here in the town of Babylon, they rely on those imports from other countries and other places. So again, that's why, and again, getting back to the Fed's message, they're really not sure of the total impact of what these tariffs are going to have on us. But higher costs for manufacturers and builders, especially here on Long Island. So today, right before we started recording the podcast today, there was an agreement that was announced with the UK. The market responded well. But again, we have no details on that. But maybe it's good news, I hope. Not sure what that is. I'm not sure what where they are with the tariffs and things. But we're going to continue to watch that because that's one of the things that the federal government, the administration continues to talk about, all these trade deals that they want to redo. But again, we'll keep looking at that and we'll look at the impact that it has here on us. The other thing I think that we want to look at is the president's proposed budget. As we move closer to that. So keep tuning in to future episodes and we're going to see what kind of impact that has. I think the biggest impact is going to be on healthcare, education. You know, some of the things that there's a lot of people concerned. And again, they all have a rippling effect. You know, sometimes when you're saving on one end, you're going to pay for it on the other. And I've said that in the past. An example that I would use is, if we don't do anything and we're not ahead of the curve as it relates to new diseases and being able to handle those things, we're going to pay for that. So maybe we're saving money on one end, but you're going to pay for that on the other. And again, we have in recent memory, 2020, I think we were all able to see the impact that something like that had on us. And but again, we'll keep watching that. I also want to talk about energy and climate. We want to talk about that today. The New York State budget allocation, they put $1 billion for climate resilience and offshore wind power. Despite the federal pause, New York continues to push forward with its climate agenda. That again is, I want to watch what I'm saying here, because part of what the federal government said was that they thought that these things were raced through. So I kind of can say the same thing as I watch some of the things that are being done very quickly. But anyway, the Long Island economy is counting on fully operational and successful offshore wind projects to help employment, manufacturing, and supply chain, not to mention the positive climate and energy impacts the projects will have. This, again, is another area that I just mentioned. You know, you talked about healthcare, but again, if these storms and some of the things that we've been seeing because of what's happening in the atmosphere and the climate and the storms that we're getting, you're going to pay for it. Okay, so maybe you're saving money. Again, we're saving money in one area, but good luck with your insurance premiums as they continue to rise. So all of these things, it's a balancing act, and it needs to be a balancing act and looked at holistically. When we're putting these things together. We also want to talk, we continue to talk about our housing market and what's happening here in our housing. And we've watched, it's amazing, the median home price on Long Island, but this is excluding the East End. So many of you, if you're not familiar, the East End has a lot of high-end, maybe you've heard of the Hamptons, Montauk, and things that are on the East End of Long Island. But taking that out, $705,000 was the average price as of winter 2025, and that was up 11.9% from the same period a year earlier. Nearly 50% increase over the past 5 years, which is amazing. Rising home prices affect workforce housing availability. And again, this is something that we're working very hard with at the IDA to help, you know, support the mixed income and workforce housing developments. But again, every market, it's supply and demand. And I don't think, again, there's a lot of people who have been very creative in their approach or what they're talking about. And again, these things do need to be talked about, but it shows you the expense and that some of the challenges we have here on Long Island and in the region as far as housing costs and the expense of housing costs and what does that transcend into. I was having a conversation the other day with someone talking about, again, our young people. And you may have heard me say it here before, I have two young boys. I'm hoping that they can stay here on the island and that we can create something for them to be here. So again, I think a lot of people are very aware of this in the region, and I think we have good leadership and we can continue, and I know we've done it here in the town of Babylon, we continuously are looking ways to improve that situation, and that situation has been improved, and it's exactly what young people today are looking for. So the other area I just wanted to talk about was the industrial real estate. You know, as the industrial development agency, it's important for us to understand what's happening in the marketplace. And what we're seeing is that Western Suffolk industrial vacancy rate was at 3.5% in the first quarter of 2025, lower than the Long Island average of about 5.5%. Now, some of that is when you look here at our stock, our inventory, we have a lot of post-World War II inventory here. Some of the buildings are, they're really, you know, 10,000, 20,000 square feet. We have a couple of planned industrial parks that we do have here that are more expansive. But again, a very low vacancy rate, which is terrific. But this, again, makes it the tightest industrial market in the region with strong demand and limited space available. But what does this mean to the local economy? Well, the lack of available space can be make it harder for a business to expand or relocate within our region, right? Because what happens, again, supply and demand, prices go up. It also shows that the area is a highly desirable location for industrial operations, thanks to the access to major locations such as Route 110 corridor and a strong workforce. But again, that's what we do. The IDA can help encourage the construction of new buildings, helping property owners modernize or repurpose older ones. That's something that really does need to be looked at. Matter of fact, we're looking at an area that's in the region, but not in our town, right? Malls used to be the place to go. People were going to, the malls were all over Long Island. And that trend is definitely changing. And it's really, again, a lot of things have changed as far as people's buying habits and what happens. But the repurposing of maybe office space or needs to be looked at, either housing or additional manufacturing. So we'll see how that all goes. And again, we're taking a snapshot today, but it doesn't tell the whole story, kind of like I said before. So these are some of the areas that we want to look at. Again, we're going to continue to monitor the budget and how that's going to impact, because again, some of the cuts, there's going to be different parts of the country impacted differently. And, you know, not to be selfish, but we're going to be concerned about how that impacts us here. So I just want to say that, you know, we kind of jumped around and we thought it would be a good idea to kind of check in, especially what's happening in the name of our podcast being Economically Speaking. There's a lot going on. So I invite you all again, as always, to please submit your comments, questions, ideas for future shows. And you can get us at www.babylonida.org, or you can email us at info@babylonida.org. So with that, I want to thank all of you for tuning in today. I hope you found this somewhat informative and kind of pleasantly surprised, as I was, to hear some of the great numbers that we do have here locally. But again, thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you soon. My name is Tom Dolan, and you've been listening to Economically Speaking.
This episode of Economically Speaking Podcast was brought to you by the Town of Babylon IDA. To find out more information about today's topic, our guest, or to simply stay connected, please visit the show notes where you'll find all the relevant links.